From NPR News, this is Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen. Thursday, top military commanders in Iraq and U.S. Ambassador to Baghdad, Ryan Crocker, asked to extend the deadline for reporting on the effect of the surge. Congress, however, was not swayed. Lawmakers from both parties are holding fast to the original mid-September date. Arguments abound. Is the surge actually working, or can it work given enough time? Stephen Biddle is a senior fellow for defense policy at the Council on Foreign Relations and the author of Military Power: Explaining Victory and Defeat in Modern Battle, and he's in Ithaca, New York. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
You've recently written that the strategy for the surge has changed since the initial plan that was created by General Casey. Explain, how has the strategy changed?
Well, I think an important element of any prospect for success at this point is not so much defeating or destroying insurgent groups or drying up their support base so they can't resist, but instead persuading factions who retain the ability to resist if they choose to decide instead to observe a ceasefire and ideally to turn their arms on al-Qaeda in Iraq. This kind of bilateral ceasefire agreement is, I think, the likeliest model for something that could potentially produce stability in Iraq at the moment, and is an approach to getting stability in Iraq at the moment that was not under active consideration during the Casey era.
And why did this strategy change, do you think?
Well, I think part of it is a growing recognition that we're not going to be successful in making it impossible for factions to resist us. And I think there's an increasing recognition that what we're involved in at the moment amounts to an ethnic and sectarian civil war fought on largely lines of identity, in which it's very unlikely that we're going to persuade people not to be Sunnis anymore or not to be Shiites anymore and to change to the government side simply because the government is a better way to run the country. I think increasingly we've come to the understanding that the only way to get them to stop fighting is to get them to choose to do it, not to force them to do it by drying up their support base.
Is there a middle ground? Most American politicians are looking for one, something in between the surge and withdrawal.
I think centrism and moderation is normally the right instinct in American politics, and unfortunately in this particular case, it's militarily very problematic. I think there are a lot of lawmakers who would very much like to split the difference between the president's surge, which they think is unlikely to succeed and which they know is very unpopular, and total withdrawal, which they're afraid will end up being tantamount to an admission of defeat that they're not ready to accept either. They want to come in somewhere in between.
So, pretend you're a member of Congress. You're going to vote. Continue the surge. Go toward withdrawal.
As an analyst, I think I can tell you that either of the two extremes make more sense on the merits than anything in between. Which extreme to choose turns ultimately on your risk tolerance. The president is very risk tolerant. He's perfectly willing to take a long shot gamble to try and prevent what might be a catastrophe militarily in the event that we leave. Others who are more risk averse than the president might choose differently. As a voter who has a risk preference and would vote according to it, if I were a senator, I would vote to cut our losses and withdraw on a timetable that's determined by logistical feasibility.
Stephen Biddle is a senior fellow for defense policy at the Council on Foreign Relations and the author of Military Power: Explaining Victory and Defeat in Modern Battle, and he joined us from Ithaca, New York. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.